Thank you, Miss Lori. Again, thank y'all for being here. We're going to take one last look at some things about the will of God. Colossians chapter number 1 for the message tonight. And I promise to be brief. I know many of you have been tired from the day. It's been a busy day in so many respects. And we've got one more thought on the will of God. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you as we think about it. As I've been studying this, Colossians, while you're turning there, I'll just make a few comments. While I've been thinking about God's will, some thoughts came to my mind, and that is about man's will. One thing you can say about man's will is that's a strong thing. Some people, and you've heard this said probably before, somebody get cancer, and you'll see them make it through that, and sometimes the doctors say it's because that person had a strong will to endure the difficulties. Watching Brother Christensen Waycross has been a tremendous thing to me. Everything he's gone through, he just had the will to do it. In the athletic world, some of you can remember, there'll be debates forever about who the greatest, the GOAT is. You know what the GOAT is? The G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. Now, whether you're in the baseball world, somebody's going to say Babe Ruth, and somebody's going to say Sandy Koufax, and I guess everybody has their heroes. In basketball, somebody's going to say Larry Bird, and somebody else is going to say Michael Jordan. But there's one thing you – and there's every now and then going to be one that doesn't know anything that says LeBron James, but we'll pray for those people. And you don't have to say it about him. He'll say it about himself. I'm the greatest in the world. When somebody brags on themselves, their head's way too big. But anyway, one thing you'll have to say about a guy like Michael Jordan, everybody knows this, he might not have been the biggest and the strongest, but he sure did have the strongest will to get some things accomplished, and he was determined to win. So whether you're talking about just in life or in the sports world, and then when I think of that, when I think of a man's will, the will to win and those things there, it gives me the idea that this is the way a person sort of directs or points themselves. In other words, this is my will. This is the thing that I want to accomplish. And I'd like you to think for a moment tonight about God's will being that thing in your life that God wants to accomplish. Sometimes I think this will of God thing is like this unusual letter that God has written on there, the three steps He wants you to follow in your life, and it's out under a rock somewhere. And if we can just go hunt on the playground and discover it, find it, dig it up, we'll finally know the three steps to God's will. And we all preach sermons about it, but I think we miss the totality of it, if that's the right word, the whole bigness that we just wrap our mind around. It's not a three-step process or formula. What is that thing, the direction in which God is pointing me? And I think that's a little bit of understanding it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's look, Colossians 1. Let me read verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul wrote this book to the Colossians. He says in verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now the rest of the verses speak of some things in relation to God's will as well. So I think you'll get the gist of what I'm talking about in just a moment. I believe every child of God has an interest in knowing and understanding and grasping the will of God. That thing that God wants in my life. Now, there are multiple things in my life, but there's one paramount one, and that was that I needed to be in the ministry. That was my thing. For you, it may be something different. But whatever that thing is, you need to find, understand, discover, move in that same direction. So I want to preach to you tonight about the will of God and getting it done. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for your word, and I'm mindful, Lord, how much we need your help. May the Holy Spirit be our help, our guide, and our teacher to understand the truths of thy word, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three things I want to give you tonight, and before I give them to you, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. That's just a book or two back right there in your Bible, so it shouldn't be very hard, just a few pages. There's always more to learn for the child of God. If you ever reach the point in life as a Christian that I have, and you say this, I've arrived, I don't have anything else to learn. I know all I know. You're a long way from being where you should be. None of us have arrived. None of us have reached the point in life where we don't need to learn more about God and about His will for our lives. No Christian should have that attitude of I've already arrived and got to that point in life. The will of God is an important part of every successful Christian life. God wants us to know His will, understand His will, and to accomplish or do His will. The first point tonight I want to give you, there are only three things I want to share with you, is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. If you turn there, if you found it, would you say amen? All right, here we go. Ephesians 5, 17. Would you read it with me out loud? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that an interesting verse? Here it says, again, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I believe it is God's will for you to understand God's will. Now that may seem redundant, and I'm just repeating myself, and it's not making any sense to you, but I hope that it would. God's not in the business of hiding His will in that He doesn't want you to know it. Now sometimes I do believe that God doesn't expressly show us every detail of His will for our life. It'd probably scare us to death. If you went back 5 years ago, think of some hardships and difficulties you've gone through. Had the Lord shown you every one of those before you got to it, it might would have terrified you. It might would have made you run from it. Some things He allows us to go through, a struggle, a hardship, a difficulty, in order that we might understand His will. How many of you as parents would understand this thought right here? Sometimes children don't understand the value of hard work. I said the other night at a graduation, joking about some of the seniors, they're L-A-Z-Y, they ain't got no alibi, they're lazy. Listen, it's one of the great blessings of life that as parents rear their children, they got to teach them the principle of hard work. You know as well as I do, sometimes when kids don't understand why I have to do these chores, you know that that's a part of them learning and growing and developing not only an appreciation for what they've got. Mark this down. If young'uns don't learn to work and do chores, they won't appreciate. They'll just want more and more and more and never really appreciate. We got a generation of people in this country that expect everything by entitlement. Gimme, 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 gimme. The government is there to give us stuff. You might not agree with everything Bill O'Reilly's ever said or done, but he said a long time ago, he said, as long as the government keeps giving, giving, giving free stuff, nothing's ever going to change in America. I agree with him. Because as long as you get it free and you ain't got to work for it, people don't appreciate it like they ought to. And you'd think they would. But I'm telling you this, teaching kids the work ethic of doing chores and getting to eat and sleep at your house for them, they don't have to always get money. Like young as my, I remember people joked about when I was coming up, that how much your mom and daddy give you for allowance? I said, allowance? They allow me to live at the house. They allow me to eat. They allow me to live when I get a whooping. That's the allowance I got. Some of y'all grew up in a generation where your mom and daddy didn't have any extra money to give you. They just put you to work. And here's what they did. They made you work and struggle, get your hands dirty. You worked up a sweat. You got out in the yard. You did things like that. In this generation, go to the average household. Everybody in it's got a cell phone, including the young'uns. And they all sitting there staring at it inside the air conditioner. What they gonna do when they got to get a job? They need to do something outside. Get out of the house. I can remember my cousins come over. All y'all just get out of the house. Well, what do we do, Mama? You ain't done nothing. Just get out of the house. Like, go outside and do something. Of course, that was an age when you left your keys in the car, you left the screen door unhooked, and you didn't worry about the youngins walking down the road, because if they got lost and they started staying at a neighbor's house, the neighbors would bring them home. You know why? Because they knew how they acted. They'd always. Some of y'all ain't got to worry nothing about your youngins running away and being kidnapped, because the kidnappers are going to bring them back. Say, I can't put up with this youngin. Y'all got to take him back. Elijah, good to see you tonight. God bless you. Amen. He don't even know what I'm talking about, but I thought I'd just share that with y'all. Amen. Ethan's laughing in the back. It's really Ethan. I realize that. I'm just picking. What am I trying to say? I'm saying this much. Listen to me now. It is God's will that you understand God's will. But he doesn't always paint it in the sky, write it on a note that Brother Sutter's prepared for a Sunday school lesson. He doesn't always put it right in front of you in a sermon. Sometimes he makes you go through the struggle. Young'uns learn hard work, a work ethic, and they learn to appreciate things because you make them struggle. You give them difficult things to do. We're going to work. You're going to get tired. We're not going to finish it today. Everything ain't going to be answered, but we're going to work at it till we get the job done. And sometimes God puts us through a struggle. Let me read you a passage found in Romans chapter number 5 and see if this kind of rings a bell with you. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. My point being this, God allows tribulations, hardships, the development of patience, the actual struggle of getting a task done, wrestling with a problem. I don't understand why God hasn't done this for me. Is it His will for me to have it? Why is He putting me through this? What is God? I wish He had shown me what He wants. Teach me the lesson. A lesson like that, the will of God, is not taught in one sit-down session, no more than teaching your children the idea of a work ethic and learning to appreciate things is going to happen in one day. It takes a lifetime. Many of you can tell stories better than I can of coming up and how your mom and dad had struggles. Y'all barely got by on anything. How your parents made you do this. But do you not know that this generation we got today, they don't relate to that? Now, I'm not saying that's good. It's a bad thing. But my point is, the way we learned about our parents' will is we followed their instructions in even the hard stuff. And that working and laboring and struggling, God taught us some lessons. I would never want to go through what Brother Christensen has gone through, but I would venture to say this, that Pastor Warren Christensen knows a little bit more about the will of God than I do because of the struggle he's gone through in the experience of his cancer. He's nearer to understanding it, knowing it, doing it because of what he's gone through. Now somebody say, in some of these crazy healing churches, you know, they said, well, never will of God for anybody to be sick. Now listen to me. You can't read the Bible and believe that kind of mess. Because during the ministry of Jesus, there was a lot of people sick. And it wasn't because of their sin, and it wasn't because of the sin of their parents. A man was born blind. And the disciples said, is this because of his sin or sin of his parents? And Jesus said, neither one. It's for the glory of God. That blind man struggled all his life, and through that struggle became closer in understanding what God wanted until the day he met face to face with Jesus and a miracle took place. Hey man, God's got a miracle waiting for you down the road somewhere after the struggle is over. And you know what? Brother Christensen now, he's telling me about the other night, he can look back on the struggle, the hardship, the misery he's gone through and say this, I understand better now God's will about this than I did when I went into it. Going into it, why did God let cancer happen to me? But looking back at it, I see that why God let cancer happen to me. You see, going into a thing that's so miserable, it's so scary, it's so tough, we'd all say, why in the world? I don't understand this. In fact, we go through it, we look back, and we understand it. Let me give you another passage, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Many of you know these verses, but listen to them as I read them tonight. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 is a key verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes experience is used by God to help teach us so that we can understand God's will, the struggle, the hardships, the tribulations, the difficulties. But also, there's a transformation that we have to go through. And listen to me. This says that you may prove. That word carries the idea of testing out by experience the thing that is the will of God. So if I'm going to prove and test to my own self to be absolutely sure of what God's will is, His good and acceptable and perfect will, what I got to do. I got to do this. I got to present my body a living sacrifice. Here, Lord, here I am. Here is me. I'm giving you everything I got, body, soul, and spirit. In particular, even mind and body mentioned in these verses, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is clearly presented in the Bible, but I've got to take it in, and to understand it, I've got to go through some struggles. I've got to go through some difficulties, and one day I'll be able to look back and say, I understand better at 61 about God's will than I did when I was 16. Understand better after 10 years of being saved than when I just got saved. But also help my mind, Lord, to release and surrender my body to you and say, here, I'm going to clean up my life physically. I'm going to make sure that I use my body for the glory of God. And I'm going to make sure that I do that so I can stand and understand the complete and perfect will of God. And I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people this way. Now look, Lord, you can have my soul, but you cannot have my body. This is mine. And by the way, all of us have flesh. And our flesh resists the will of God. Our flesh does not want to do anything that's godly. Our flesh fights against the Spirit of God. The book of Galatians deals with this. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. So that you cannot do the things that please God. I have trouble pleasing the Lord with my life because my flesh gets in the way. By the way, I know some of y'all. Y'all have the same struggles that I do. Y'all know me well enough to know the struggles that I go through sometimes. The wrestling with these things. But I'm saying this much. God wants us, number one, to understand His will. But to do that, I got to be willing to face some tribulations and trials and testings, and then I got to be willing to transform my mind so as to understand I need to give God not just my soul, but Lord, here's my body too. Somebody said, one of the old preachers years ago, verse 1 of chapter 12 in Romans said a living sacrifice. He asked the question, you know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? And I said, no. He said, it keeps crawling off of the altar. All those Old Testament sacrifices were dead. They killed them. They laid them on the altar. We're a living sacrifice. And sometimes our very living, we get in our own way when it comes to understanding the Word of God, the will of God. Number two, we should undertake the will of God. Back to Colossians that I read earlier to you, where it said that we'd be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding that you may walk worthy. To know God's will is important, but it's not enough. We got to get into it, and we got to get on with it. I think there are a lot of Christians, and I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. I think there are a lot of Christians that in relation to where they stand to the will of God, it's that I know there's some things that I need to do. There's some things I need to straighten out in my life. There's some things I just need to let go of. And because that's so difficult, even though they understand it, they don't ever get on with it. There, I said it in Sunday school this morning. I taught for Brother Earl, and I talked a lot about how, if you get out of God's will, what do you do to get back in it? All of us in this room have all made mistakes, even since we've been saved, of not always doing God's will fully like we should. We've got away from, and we've got out of His will. And admitting that, swallowing our pride, and moving on with our lives. And listen, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. Certainly the prophet Jonah is a great example of a man who messed up and made a wrong, poor, terrible decision that he suffered from for a long time. But he did have the word of the Lord come to him the second time. He got a second chance, and he made the most of it. Now, he, again, was not perfect. He still failed, as we will. But I'm just trying to get you to think about this thought. The highest privilege you and I ever have in our lives is to have the opportunity to do, not just to understand it. I know what I need to do, but you got to do it. And sometimes you get so bogged down in a failure. Now listen, we've all failed. None of us are perfect as people, as parents, as witnesses, prayer warriors, you name it. We've all made our mistakes. But if you dwell on only your failures, you're never going to do the will of God. You're always going to, you'll know it. I know I ought to go forward. I know I ought to move ahead. I know I ought to move on with my life. But I just can't get past this mess up. You got to get past it. As the old preacher said, you got to get past your past. Everybody makes mistakes, but sometimes you just got to leave those mistakes there and say, listen, by the grace of God, I messed up, didn't do everything right. But God, forgive me. Go to other people and say, please forgive me if you've wronged those people. And then move on with your life and don't live in the eternal discouragement of how everything didn't work out. Because if you're not careful, that can bog you down so much that you'll never really undertake His will. Doing His will is a mark of spirituality, not just knowing it. I don't know how many kids tell me sometimes in math class, I know it. I know it. I know how to do all that. And I'll say something like this, well, then do your homework. Well, why I got to do my homework? I know everything. Because doing your homework is going to reinforce what you know, build you stronger so you can do more, and it might just reveal that you don't know everything you think you know. Y'all know teenagers think they know everything. But then again, I found out why. I followed them home one day, and I met their parents, and now I know why they... Anyway, all right. Number one, understanding God's will. Number two, undertaking God's will. Number three, and I'm done, is undercutting God's will. This is a dangerous thing. God's will is often not done by many of His children. That's a pretty, I think, non-arguable point. And I think that's why there's a lot of discouragement, disappointment, and even delusion in the lives of people, is because they have substituted other things for what the Lord wants them to do. I bet you tonight, if you your life depended on, I said, pick out a piece of paper, I want you to write down three things that you really believe. Not just something as simple as, the Lord wants me to read my Bible, He wants me to pray, and He wants me to go faithful to church. He'd like me to be involved in Sunday school. Not that. I'm talking about if I said, write down three things that you feel really pressed upon by God that you need to be doing with your life. I bet many of you could. But sometimes we substitute the doing of the thing with other stuff. Example I would give you, sometimes it's just plain disobedience. And again, Jonah would be an example of that. Sometimes it's what we would call partial obedience. In other words, I'm willing to obey. Now listen to this carefully now. This made me think. This month, I preach on the will of God almost every year, somewhere along the way. But this has challenged my heart. There are some things that I'm willing to do. They're easy to do. They just kind of come natural. I'm going to go to church. I mean, that when Sunday rolls around, it's not a debate on, well, honey, what you want to do this Sunday? You want to lay out at the beach? What you want to go to? I mean, like both of us light complete, we'd be lobsters before it's over with. It looked like Eric's shirt by the time it was over with. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to go down to the lake? You want to go up to the mountains? Now, I'm not saying something about vacation. Everybody takes those, and I'm glad they do. But I'm just talking about when Sunday rolls around, there's no debate. Well, what are we going to do at 10 o'clock? We're going to be at church with Sunday school classes. We're going to be here for Sunday morning, Sunday night. I mean, that's just, well, you the preacher, that's good. But I'm just saying that's one of the easy things to do. I don't have to pray about that. It's in the Bible, I do it. It's just that simple. I don't think about tithing. I don't think about, that's just stuff you do. That's just part of the Christian life. I go and put my offering in with Brother Earl. That's just what you do. And you go forward. Witness, we're going to leave a track on the table at Rodeo, okay, or wherever we go. We're going to put some money in it. We're going to leave a gospel track. That's just what you do. We get them from Brother Talmadge. We're just going to do it. But there are some things that I'm easy to talk myself into this. Do the easy stuff and leave the hard stuff alone. What if the Lord told you, I want you to go to the mission field? I want you to serve me. Would you say something like this? Well, I'm too old. Ain't no way I can do that. Well, I ain't got no money. You see, it's easy to not even wrestle with, read your Bible, pray, go to church, Sunday school, love the brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's easy stuff. And here's what I think we do. We substitute doing partially God's will, but not the difficult stuff. Now, I don't know what the difficult stuff might be for you. It might be just to swallow your pride and make things right with somebody. It might be getting at an altar and saying, Lord, here's my body, soul, and spirit, and I'm willing to surrender my life to your will. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying this much. If you're not careful, you'll try and undercut the will of God by doing partially the things that are easy and fight and resist the things that are hard. If the Lord had told Jonah, talk about a lot about him today. If the Lord told Jonah, I want you to go to Tarshish. He said, well, ain't no problem. I was planning on going there anyway. But when the Lord said, go to Nineveh, that was a no. That was the last place Jonah wanted to go. The Ninevites were enemies. I can't stand these people. And you want me to go to them? But he'd have been better off to have done the hard thing than to partially have obeyed. I think also sometimes there is the difficulty of procrastinating about it, putting it off. Russell, I appreciate you preaching on it, but I ain't ready. I ain't ready to do that yet. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But I will say this much. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I can remember as a boy, I'll close up with some of this stuff here. I didn't want to preach too long to you anyway. I can remember my mama saying something like this much. Terry, come here and take this trash out. And you know what I'd say? In a minute. Any of y'all ever heard that one before? Any of y'all ever use that one? In a minute. And she'd say something like this. No, I said right now. In a minute, Mama, let me watch the rest. Can you wait till the commercial comes on? That was one of my big things. Because, I mean, goodness, I got to see this the 10th time I've seen the Andy Griffith episode. I know what's going to happen, but I still got to watch it anyway. Or maybe it was something on The Rifleman. I want him to shoot somebody before I go. You know, I got to see what happens. And what you really didn't want to happen was Mama to walk in there and say, did I call you? That's all right. Just let me go tell your daddy. I'll do it. Boy, I was ready to go right then. Delaying my obedience and doing it when I got good and ready was not something that Mama said was a good idea, or Daddy for that matter. And I think you understand what I'm saying. When the Lord tells you to do something, it's just better to go ahead and do it and not delay it and put it off and procrastinate and put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Not a good thing to do. Remember Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might plan to do it tomorrow. You might live till tomorrow, but I bet you if you ain't careful, life will get in the way of what you want to do for God. And before you know it, so many other things are going on, you forgot to do the thing the Lord was after you doing. We understand His will. We undertake His will. We must be careful to never undercut His will. Let's stand together. Father, thank you tonight for a reminder from your word about your will, the thing that you want accomplished in our life. And I pray that you'll help. Lord, many folks get discouraged about your will because of tribulations and trials, things they have to struggle and wrestle with. But Lord, I pray that through those experiences, you'll help them understand your will in a fresh and new way. Show them that thing that they can undertake for you and actually get it done for the glory of God. There may be a soul that could be saved because somebody in this audience made an effort to give out a gospel tract or made an effort to share a witness of what you have done in their own life. Whatever we should be undertaking for you, help us to do so for your honor and for your glory. Bless our invitation time right now. Deal with our hearts in Jesus' name. Miss Lori's going to play tonight. The altar is open. Maybe something you've been wrestling with or struggling with, you want to bring it to the Lord and ask for His help as she plays. You come.